So Parshas Yisrei has something very unusual at the very end of it. You know, each parasha, and if you look at any standard Chumash, each parasha has at the end of the parasha, it says how many psukim are in the parasha. And it's always written together with a simin, which is some word that has the gematria of that number. And these notes, this is not just something that, you know, the printers of the Chumash put in just for our convenience. These are very old notes. It's part of something called the Maseiras. Now, just to clarify, it's not the same word as Maseira. Maseira, I would say, is a common noun. It means a tradition, something that's passed down through the generations. Maseires is actually a proper noun, like you spell it with a capital Mem. It refers to a particular work that comes to us from Bavel, something around 1,500 years ago, and it's notes on the Chumash. And that collection of notes is called the Maseires. And there's a lot of notes in there about pronunciations of words and psukim. And one of the elements of the Maseiris is that at the end of each parasha, it says how many words are in the parasha. And it also gives a simon, a word with the gematria of that number. How many psukim are in that parasha. And it also gives a simon, which is a word with the gematria of that number. The purpose of the simon is every time that somebody writes a chumash, remember everything was handwritten in the olden days. Every time somebody writes a chumash, you're relying on them to write over the number, and sometimes it's going to be written over incorrectly, and then mistakes will come in. So they put a word there with the gematria, so that even if somebody miscopies the number, you'll see right away that it's off. So parashas Yisrael, it says after the parasha, Ayin beiz psukim yoynadov simen. The simon is Yoynadov, and that's a gematria of 72. The 72 psukim of Parashas Yisrei. There's a note like that at the end of every parasha in the Torah. Right? At the end of Parashas Mishpatim, it'll say, for example, Kuf Yud Ches psukim, Aziel simon. Over there it gives two simanim, and Hanani simon. The Maseiras tells us for every parasha the number of psukim and a word that corresponds to that number. What's unusual about the number on Parashas Yisrei is that it's incorrect. If you count up the psukim in the Chumash, I mean, it's very simple. Yisrei has three prakim. Yisrei has three prakim. Yud Ches, Yud Tes, and Chaf. One parak has 27 psukim. One parak has 25 psukim. One parak has 23 psukim. You add up those three numbers and it comes to 75. So the 75 psukim.
It's 74, right?
It's 72. They said 72. So it's not even off by one, right? It's off by. They say 72 psukim. And we have 75 psukim. So the short answer clearly is that you have in the Aseret HaDibros different ways of calculating the psukim. We have, as we know, the Tam Elyon and the Tam Tachton. The thing that strikes us most strongly about the Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton is if you're a little bit familiar with Trop, so you see the Trop is completely different. The way we read the Aseret HaDibros, the Trop is much different than the way it's written in the Chumash. Right? When you're reading from the Chumash, usually it's written with Tam Tachton, but the Baal Keri reads it with Tam Elyon, and it's a much fancier, more elaborate Trop, a lot more musical notes in the Tam Elyon. But that's really not the main difference. The main difference is the way the psukim are broken up, where the seif pasuk comes. All the puzzers and the talishas and the gershayims are thrown in there to fill in more space till you get to the seif pasuk, because if you have a longer psukim, you need more elaborate traps. But the real idea of the Tam Elyon is that instead of having a seif pasuk at the end of every pasuk, it's at the end of every dibra. That the Aseret HaDibros are divided into Dibros rather than Psukim. The Tam Tachton divides them into standard Psukim. The Tam Elyon divides them into Dibros. So that, for example, in the Dibra about Shabbos, Zachasem Shabbos L'Kadshai, in the Chumash, there's a Seif Pasuk on the word L'Kadshai. Then Sheishtem Tavim Sizikom L'Achtecha. Seif Pasuk, again. Right? There's a Seif Pasuk on the word L'Achtecha. There's four different Psukim in the Mitzvah of Zachar. But in the Tam Elyon, it's all read as one pasuk. There's no safe pasuks there. There's a lot of puzzers and kadim of azlas and elaborate traps. And then there's one asnachta. And then when you get to the end, then there's a safe pasuk. So there you have four psukim condensed into one. Layilacha has five psukim, or Anoichi with Layilacha has five psukim, and we read it all as one pasuk. the Tam Elyon has, starting from the Neichi, Neichi Shem Alechosh Vesich Meyas Mitzrayim, Ves Avadim is not a safe pasuk, it's a revi'im, Ves Avadim, and then Hizul Yilacha Lemachem Alpanai, still not a safe pasuk, Lesas Lecha Pesel, and you don't get to the safe pasuk till Elayah Ayel Shem Mitzvay. So there's five psukim condensed into one. In Shabbos, we had four psukim condensed into one. So that's, together, nine psukim condensed into two. That eliminates seven psukim, which is far more than we needed to. But on the other hand, since the idea here is that every dibra is its own pasuk, so at the end of the Seres HaDibrais, it works in the reverse. The Tam Tachtoin has one pasuk with four dibrais. Lois Tirtzach, Lois Enough, Lois Ignoiv, Lois Anavrecha, Eit Shaker. That's four of the Ten Commandments, but they're all in one pasuk. In the Tam Elyon, that we divided into dibrais, so each one is its own pasuk. Loi Tirtzach is a pasuk. Loi Tinaf is a pasuk. So there, one pasuk turns into four. So there, we gained some psukim. Now, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this in Sim Tov Tzadi Dala, the Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton. He points out that the real difference, the difference between Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton, it does not just affect the trop and the safe pasuks. It also sometimes affects the pronunciation of the words. Now, this is, for people that are really disinterested in diktuk, so this point will be a little bit boring. But if you're interested, when a word starts with a letter like bays, vays, or tough, soft, or kaf, chaf, right? Or those words, those letters that have different pronunciations depending on whether there's a dot or there isn't a dot. So when do you put a dot and when don't you? Usually at the beginning of a word, it would have a dot. At the beginning of a word would be a tough, would be a bays, would be a chaf, a kaf. Mm-hmm. Unless it's connected to the previous word and the previous word ended with a vowel sound, so then we look at it as if it's the middle of a syllable and then it gets a softer sound. Then it goes without the dagesh and it's a vays or a chaf or a saf. So in the phrase leisirtzach, so the tough saf, it is at the beginning of a word, which ordinarily would give it a dagesh, which should be a tough. But if it's connected with the loy, which is a word that ends with a vowel, that would make it into a saf. But if that's its own pasuk, so then you read, then if you read it as its own pasuk, so it's a tipcha seif pasuk, loy tirtzach. Now a tipcha is like a comma. If you have a comma after the word loy, then the word tirtzach is no longer connected to the word before it. So then it's like a new beginning, and then it gets a dagesh. So if you make it into its own pasuk, then it has a dagesh. If it's part of a longer sentence, then it's going to be without a dagesh. So in the Tam Elyon, it says, lois sirtzach, lois enough. In the Tam Tachton, that's the Tam Tachton. In the Tam Elyon, it's loy tirtzach, loy tinaph. The suffs turn into toughs. Loi tignoiv, there also the stuff turns into a tough. And one other interesting point is that sometimes you have words that have a pasach in them, but if the word comes at the end of a pasach or even at the end of a phrase, like vayanas nachta, so then the pasach becomes a kamatz. For example, if you have the word mitzrayim, at the end of a pasach it's mitzrayim, even though it's really the name is mitzrayim, but at the end of a pasach it's mitzrayim. So you have Layelacha Elihim Acherim al Panoi. And the word is Panai, but it's a safe pasuk, so it's Panoi. But it's only a safe pasuk in the Tam Tachtain. In the Tam Elyon, that is part of a very long pasuk, Layelacha Elihim Acherim al Panai. So that kamatz becomes a pasach. There's a few other details in how you're reading. So there's real differences in the reading between the Tam Elyon and the Tam Tachtain. Tufs and Sufs, there's a Kaf and Chaf that changes, there's kamatzes and pasachs that change. But the main change is, right, and of course there's a lot of trup that changes, but the main change is where the psukim end, the seif pasuks. And in the Tam Elyon, there are fewer psukim. Again, first we eliminated seven psukim, but then we added three psukim. So, but altogether, you come out with fewer psukim in the Tam Elyon than you have in the Tam Tachtain. And what's each one for? The Mishnah Berurah brings down that there's different minhagim. He first brings down a minhag that the Tam Elyon is used when we read it on Shavuos, and the Tam Tachton is used when you read it in the Parashas Shavua. That seems to be the older minhag. Then he brings down that others are noyeg. He brings down makaris for each one. The Mishbur doesn't mention the makaris, but in the Magen Avraham, it says that that first minhag has a makar in the Chizkuni, which is one of the Rishonim, and that has a commentary on Chumash. So he says that the Tam Elyon is only used on Shavuos, but then the Mishbur says Yeshayim, and the Magen Avraham says that this comes from the Ein Yaakov, that the Tam Elyon is used whenever it's read in Shul. Any Kriyas HaTorah is done with the Tam Elyon. The Tam Tachton is only used for when you read it B'Yechidus, by which I assume he means when you're Ma'aver Sedra. Mm-hmm. You're Ma'aver Sedra, you're supposed to read it with the Tam Tachton, even though I guess, you know, it probably doesn't make the biggest difference in the world. And, you know, I don't know how big an Avera it is if you use the wrong trup when you're being Ma'aver Sedra. I think if you're being Ma'aver Sedra, you're already ahead of the game. That's a big mitzvah. But Lamaise, if you're going to do it properly, then you're supposed to be Ma'aver Sedra with a Tam Tachtein. So the Mishmur brings down those two minhagim. There's an interesting vart from Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik I've seen written that he's explaining, or he's going with that first minhag that we only use the Tam Elyon on Shavuos. He says it's not just about trap. He says it's what are we doing here? If it's a Kriyas HaTorah, so Kriyas HaTorah is done with the regular trap. That's Tam Tachton. The more elaborate, fancy trap is when we don't just mean to be reading Chumash, reading Torah. We mean to be reenacting something. We're creating the Maimid Har Sinai. We want to have the feeling of Hashem giving the Torah, so then it's done more elaborately. The pomp and circumstance, you know.
Shira is also, right?
What?
Shira Siyam is also done with that?
That also has a unique way of reading it, but it's not a Tam Elyon, right? It's just we don't change the trup that's written in the Chumash. We just we sing it a little bit differently. But here we actually use different trups. So he says that that's when we mean to be reenacting Maimon Har Sinai, and that's what's happening on Yom Tif. When you lay it on Yom Tif, which is the anniversary of Matan Torah, so then it's meant to be a reenactment. Then you do Tam Elyon. And he uses he's marviach something nice with this. There's a minhag Yisrael, widespread minhag Yisrael, that I mean nowadays I think it's almost universal. It's certainly among Ashkenazim. I think by the Sephardim they don't, but among Ashkenazim almost universally, there's a minhag that the Olam stands up when they read the Aseret Hadibros. There's a very strong objection to this minhag that the Gemara talked about saying Aseret Hadibros every day. Should you include Aseret Hadibros at the end of your Kriyas Shema? Seems like a nice idea. Aseret Hadibros is such an important thing. But the Gemara actually says that, yeah, there were a few times that they attempted it, but they always were mavatal it. They, meaning, Chazal thought maybe it's a good idea, but then they decided, no, on second thought, it's a bad idea. Why is it a bad idea? Mipnei taroimas haminim. That because them are going to say, oh, you see, this is the important part, the Ten Commandments. That's what you have to know. That's what you have to keep. And the rest of the Torah is not so important. And the meaning probably referring to the Christians that were coming along and saying that the Bible is a very nice work, but the ceremonials of the Bible have ceased to exist. They don't apply anymore. So this would have given them ammunition that if they see that Erlich Yidden read that Aseret Hadibros every day with their Kriyas Shema, so that would mean that if you want to be an Erlich Yidden, you have to keep the Ten Commandments. You don't have to worry about the other mitzvahs. So that's called Taremis Haminim. So in order to be mevatel, that Chazal said, don't read it every day. So there are those that felt that standing up for Aseret Hadibros is a way of showing this part is more chashuv than the rest of the Torah. It feeds right into that Torah Mesaminim. So, you know, so you could debate, you do like that Svara, you don't like that Svara, but there's one very nice Maramakam that which wasn't really available through the day race, but nowadays we have a Tshuvas HaRambam. This Tshuvas HaRambam was not I don't know what the history is, but it, only in recent years it's come to light, this Tshuvas HaRambam. But the Rambam, he was asked the Shaila, and he explicitly paskin, it's usser. You're not allowed to stand up during that reading of the Aseret Hadibros because it falls right into the Gemara of Taremis Aminim.
Maybe that's why we say Shlosh Yassim with this every day, to emphasize Torah Shebal Peh.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right? The Shmuel Leim, I mean, yeah. I hear.
People stand from the beginning of the Aliyah, so you don't make it.
Yeah,
look
maybe
like
some people feel that offsets it a little bit. Yeah, I hear, maybe.
Some people stand for the whole Kriyas HaTorah.
That's true, right? Mm-hmm. If you do that, then right. You don't have this Torah Mesa Aminim. But most people don't.
The people that Bedafka sit.
Right.
Bedafka sit, not just because they're.
People Bedafka sit?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. people that's okay. Svarno, for example, sit.
He said, Avadu, we're not ignoring the Rambam. The Rambam is right. Taremus Haminim, if you have Kriyas HaTorah, every Shabbos you learn from the Torah, and then one Shabbos you say, oh, but that, now we're standing. That's Taremus Haminim. But he said, but you stand just for what you do with the Tam Elyon. If you just stand when you do with the Tam Elyon, the Tam Elyon, it's a whole different activity. We're not doing Kriyas HaTorah now, Rabbi Yosef Bar Soloveitchik. We're reenacting Maimon Har Sinai. And that you don't do every week. So yeah, every week we weren't standing because we weren't doing a Maimon Har Sinai every week. This week we're doing a Maimon Har Sinai. He says the Rambam wrote his Tshuva, he was referring to when you read it with Tam Tachton. When you read it with Tam Tachton, you shouldn't stand. But when you read it with Tam Elyon, then it's okay to stand. That was Hishtikol Torah. Al Kapanim, you have these two readings, different minhagim about when you do which, but you have these two ways of dividing up the Pesukim of the Aseres HaDibros. So we come back to the question that we began with, and I would say that we have something resembling an answer. We started off that we counted up the Pesukim that came to 75, and the Maseiros says that there's 72. So, the answer would seem to be that there's different ways of calculating the Pesukim. There's Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton. We calculated 75, adding up how many Pesukim are in each parak. That's the Tam Tachton. But the Tam Elyon has fewer Pesukim. So we thought that, maybe that'll be the Teres. The Maseiros is counting the Tam Elyon, and then there's fewer Pesukim. Problem is, if you're keeping track of the numbers, first we eliminated 7 Pesukim, but then we added 3, which means that we ended up that the Tam Elyon had 4 Pesukim fewer than the Tam Tachton. Now, if we counted up 75 Pesukim in Parashat Yisrael when we were counting the Tam Tachton, that means that the Tam Elyon, there are 71 Pesukim. So it still doesn't stem. The Maseiros says that there's 72 Pesukim. Where does 72 come from? 75 is a good count. 71 is a good count. 72 doesn't seem to be anything. So if you take a look in the Chizkuni, which is the oldest makar that I know of that talks about the two traps, the Tam Elyon and the Tam Tachton, this is from the times of the Rishonim, I think the 1200s, and it's printed in some Mikrois Gedolos Chumashim. So the Chizkuni talks about the Tam Elyon and the Tam Tachton, and when he describes it, he lays it out differently than the way we have a Tam Elyon. This is a different nusach on the Tam Elyon. And I should mention first, our Tam Elyon, I said that we eliminated 7 Pesukim, we added 3 Pesukim, so we end up with a differential of 4. What were the actual numbers? In our Chumashim, the Tam Tachton, Aseres HaDibros is 13 Pesukim long. In the Tam Elyon, it's 9 Pesukim long. That's the difference of 4. But 9 Pesukim is strange. We said that the whole point of the Tam Elyon is that it's dividing it according to Dibros. There are 10 Dibros. So why are there only 9 Pesukim? So the answer is because Anoichin La'yilcha are all read as one. It's 5 Pesukim long, but we read it all as one. But Anoichin La'yilcha is really two Dibros. But for some reason, we put it together. So the Mishabura, when he in Tav Sadeh, when he's talking about this, he sort of addresses this. He says, yeah, that seems a little strange. But since Chazal talk about those first two Dibros as being very closely connected, he quotes a Lashon that, Anoich v'l'yilecha b'dibur echa nemru. I don't know if in the Gemara it doesn't say Anoich v'l'yilecha b'dibur echa nemru. We find Shomer v'zacha b'dibur echa nemru. By Anoich HaLiyelcha, there is a Gemara that says, Achas Dibra Lekim Shtayim Zu Shamati. That's what he's referring to. But there's some very close connection between these two Zekhtam Mishaburas. So even though the Tam Elyon is supposed to be dividing it according to Dibras, but those two get lumped together into one. But in the Chizkuni, he actually brings it down differently. He says that there's a minute to lay in it according to the Dibras. Anoichi is one Dibra, and it ends with a safe pasuk. And then from La'yilacha until Ula'ayavayu L'shem Rei Mitzvah Soi, that's the end of 4 pasukim later, that's the second Dibra, that is read as one pasuk. And then each Dibra is another pasuk. He breaks it up into 10 pasukim, not 9. So according to that, there's 3 pasukim fewer. Instead of 13 pasukim, there's 3. And then the Parashas Yisrael will have 72 pasukim, which means that the now. Now, this is significant because the Masoiras is very old. It's much older than any of the Makoirites that we have that talk about the Tam Elyon and the Tam Tachtoin. But it's clear that the Masoiras was going with this other version of the Tam Elyon, which means our version of the Tam Elyon, apparently, I don't want to say it's incorrect, but it's apparently not the original version of the Tam Elyon, because it's Muchach from the Masoiras that they were dividing a Noichin LaYilacha into two Dibroi, two Seif Pasuks. In the Tam Elyon. But our minhag nowadays is not like that. Okay, we follow our minhag, but we see in the Chizkuni that there was another nusach of Tam Elyon, and that's the one that makes the Maseiris work. The Ayin Beis Pesukim, Yenod of Simon, only works according to the Chizkuni's version of the Tam Elyon, so we have an old Makar supporting that version. Now, it's interesting, once we're talking about the Maseiris, that, you know, the Maseiris, again, it was clearly, if it says 72 Pesukim, so clearly it was counting Tam Elyon. Again, it's a little bit different than our Tam Elyon, but clearly it's Tam Elyon, not Tam Tachtoin. Now, if you haven't noticed, at the end of every Sefer, at the end of each of the five Chumshei Torah, there's a note, which is also from the part of the Maseiris, Schum Pesukim Shal Sefer Shemais, and it has at the end of each of the Svarim. And it says over here, Schum Pesukim Shal Sefer Shemais, Elef Veresh Tes. 1,209, Arat Simen. And then it says how many parashiyos, how many stumos, how many psuchos. So there's a bunch of simonim over there, each one with a gematria. But it says that there's 1,209 psukim. I didn't count it, but I read that the 1,209 is not the sum that you get by adding up the simonim at the end of each parasha. Because if you include 72 for Parshas Yisro, which is what it says in the Maseiras, then you come out to 1,212. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the 1,209 was going with the Tam Elyon. I'm sorry, no, you come to 1,206. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the 1,209 was going with the Tam Tachtoin. So within the Maseiras, there's inconsistencies. Maybe the Maseiras is compiled from more than one source. I don't know. I don't know what the whole history of the Maseiras is. But there's an internal inconsistency. And I saw that it plays out in Devarim also. Because all this happens in Devarim again. Veres Chanan has the Aseres HaDibros, there's a Tam Elyon and a Tam Tachton. If you look over there at the end of Parashat Chanan, it says, I don't remember the number, I think it says 116 Psukim. And really, if you count up the number of psukim as it's printed in the Chumash, it's more. It's 119 or 20. I don't know exactly how it works out over there. And it's because the Maseiris over there was counting the Tam Elyon. But if you look at the end of Sefer Devarim, where there's a number of psukim for all the parashiyos, that one goes according to the Tam Tachtoin. So it's interesting. So there's speculation that maybe there was the Maseiris from Babylon, different Maseiris from Eretz Yisrael, and then they got interpolated together. But Al Kalpanim, well, I think the significant thing that comes out of this discussion is that we have a very early source indicating that our Tam Elyon is not being done correctly. The original Tam Elyon seems to have broken up Anoichi into one Pasuk and Layilach into another.
Isn't Devarim a Chazar of the first four?
Yes.
So it's not really like the first four?
It's different in some ways, right?
So it wasn't directly from Hashem?
That's, I think, a discussion for another time. Yes.
The Maseiras goes back to the Tanaim?
I don't think so. I think we only know of it going as far back as the Goyim. That's right, as far as I know.
That will answer your question.
No, I don't.
Because you can't make a proof from this Tanaim because it's only a
Chazar. Yeah, but we weren't asking any questions having to do with Devarim.
No, you're saying that there's an internal stira.
Not between Shemais and Devarim. No. Devarim has its internal stira, and Shemais has its internal stira. Each one has a stira between the numbers at the end of the parasha and the number at the end of the sefer. Okay, so now, according to what we've explained so far... It's not a whole sefer. It's a scroll, like whatever. It's a collection of notes. It's a collection of notes on Chumash that goes back... very long way. I don't know if anyone really knows the origin, but it's been part of Klal Yisrael's Maseirah for a very long time. And one of the things that it includes is the number of psukim at the end of the parasha. So now, to the question of how many psukim is in Parshas are in Parshas Yisroel, so we see that there's a lot of good answers. 71 would be a good answer. 72 is a good answer. 75 is a good answer. I'm going to show you now with that 74 would also be a good answer, and this is. But we'll put that on the back burner. I want to say over now a shiur that I heard from Abzalel Gapstein. He was not interested in these things that we were talking about until now with the how many psukim there are here. He was interested in big things. What are the Aseret HaDibrois? What are we being told to do? And he gave a shiur one year Shavuos. It was Tavshin Nun Beis. He gave a shiur on Shavuos about the mitzvahs of Anoichin LaYelacha. And then after the shiur, I went over to him and I had a discussion with him about how this would affect the discussion that we were just having. But his shiur was as follows. We start off with the Rambam. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, he says, the first mitzvah saseh is a shenetz davinu. We were commanded lahamin beleka, to believe that there's a God. He describes what does that mean, that he's the Siba of Kol Sibais, he's the original cause, the first cause of everything, and they upoil call him Mitzrayis. He brings all of existence into existence. That's the meaning of a God, and there's a mitzvah to believe that there is such a being, and that's the mitzvah of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And then the Rambam says, and this belongs in the Tarayag Mitzvahs. I believe that this should count as one of the 613 Mitzvahs. Why? Because of a Gemara in Makkos. The Gemara in Makkos, the last Gemara in Masechet Makkos, Chav Gimel and Beis, Chav Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara says, there are 613 Mitzvahs in the Torah. Shenemar, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, and the Gematria, and that's the Gematria of Torah. Yeah, so the Gemara says, wait one second, that's close, but not quite. The Gematria of Torah is 611. So how did you use that as a remez that there's 613 mitzvahs? So the Gemara responds, Anoichi v'layilacha mipi agvura shamanum. Anoichi v'layilacha, those came directly from Hashem. Those we didn't hear from Moshe. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Torah is Gematria 611. 611 mitzvahs we heard from Moshe. At plus two mitzvahs that we heard from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So 611 plus two, that's 613 mitzvahs. Like the Rambam, it says in that Gemara, the Gemara is counting up the mitzvahs, and it says 611 plus two. What are the two? Anoichi and La'yilacha. So you see that Anoichi is a mitzvah, that one of the Tariq mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that's my mitzvah to say number one. And then the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has a section counting the 248 mitzvahs asay. Then he starts a new section counting the 365 mitzvahs leisaseh. It's like the Rambam, the first mitzvahs leisaseh. Is la yilacha lehem acherim alpanai shehuzharnu, that we were forbidden me lahamin be'el acher zulasai, to believe in any other god. A mitzvah commanding us not to believe in another god, and that's the mitzvah la yilacha. And then the Rambam adds, and this belongs in the count of the Targum mitzvahs, like that Gemara says in Makkos, that the 611 plus 2 are neichin la, so you see this belongs in the Targum mitzvahs. So the Rambam counts Anoichi as the first mitzvah Hasei, Layilacha as the first mitzvah Laisasa, and he defends himself both times. He says that, you know, you should know this belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs, like you see in that Gemara in Makkos. So Abzalek said, what's the Rambam getting so defensive about? He keeps on bringing a proof. This belongs in the Targum mitzvahs. So I understand by Anoichi, he brought his proof because there were those that argued. One of the predecessors to the Rambam that counted the 613 mitzvahs was the Bahag. He was the first of the Moinei HaMitzvahs, and he did not count Anoichi Hashem Elokecha as one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam said, I do count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. I'm right, and he's wrong, and I'll bring you a raya. He brings that Gemara and Makkos, where you see that Anoichi belongs in the minyan of 613 mitzvahs. But then by Layilacha, from the effect of Zelig, that everyone counted La'yilacha. If you look at the Bahag's minyan of mitzvahs, he also has La'yilacha. Everybody has La'yilacha in his minyan of mitzvahs. So why is the Rambam insisting and bringing a proof and defending himself? Nobody's arguing with him. Nobody would ever argue. Everyone agrees that La'yilacha is one of the Targum mitzvahs. So why was the Rambam bringing a raya to his inclusion of the mitzvah of La'yilacha? So Abzalek said something very interesting. He said that, you know, the Rambam... We said that the Bahag didn't include Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Why not? Mitzvah of Emunah, everybody must agree that it's important. There's no machlokes that the Bahag holds you don't really have to believe in God. No, everyone agrees that you have to believe in God. So why is the Bahag not included in the Minyan of Mitzvahs? So,
what do you say? It didn't get anywhere.
So the Ramban says there's a medrash, the Mechilta, that the Ramban brings down where it gives a mashal. It says a king conquers a new land. So his advisors, his subjects, his servants come and say, tell them your laws. Like, you know, start teaching them that, you know, you're not allowed to drive more than 25 miles per hour on a city street and you can't have alternate sides on Martin Luther King Day. And the king says, no, 1 second. Well, before we get into the Gezer Alehem Gezerites, first they have to be Mekabel my Malchus. Let them pledge allegiance. Let them raise the flag. It's a new Medina. I just conquered this Medina. First, they should be Mekabel my Malchus, and then I'll be Gezer Alehem Gezerites. So the Ramban says that perhaps that's why the Bahag left out Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, because, yeah, of course it's very important, but that's not the commandments. That precedes the commandments, like the Pledge of Allegiance precedes the speed limit. You could take commandments from someone if you believe that he's a commander. So the mitzvah of Emunah precedes the mitzvahs. It's like a precursor to the mitzvahs. There's that you have to believe in God. Once you believe in him, then you have to follow his mitzvahs. So then you get into the mitzvahs. But the mitzvah of Emunah comes before all of the mitzvahs. Now, what about Le'yilacha? The Rambam learned that La'yilacha, I said over, La'yilacha is a shehu's harnu that we were forbidden, milahamin be'el acher zulasai. That's also a mitzvah of Emunah. There's a mitzvah sasei of Emunah, and there's a mitzvah sleisas of Emunah. So why did the Bahag, if the Bahag didn't count Anaychi, why did he count La'yilacha? The answer is because he didn't agree with the Rambam's interpretation of La'yilacha. The Bahag learned that La'yilacha is a lav about having idols. You're not allowed to have idols. It says in the next pasuk, like Sasalacha Pesalachal Tamuna. So the Midrashim say, the Chazal say that you need two psukim. One to tell me that you're not allowed to make the idol, even if somebody else is going to use it. One to tell me that you're not allowed to own an idol, even if somebody else made it. So there's two psukim teaching us about the issue of idols. And the first one is La'yilacha. That's how the Bahag, yeah, he counted the mitzvah La'yilacha because he learned that it was an isser on having idols. So Rizalik said very gishmak. It's true that the Bahag agrees with the Rambam to count La'yilacha, but he only agreed with the Rambam to count it because he disagreed with him about what it means. But if he would have agreed with the Rambam about what it means, then he wouldn't have counted it. He counts La'yilacha because La'yilacha is not a mitzvah Emunah. Anoichi, he doesn't count because Anoichi is a mitzvah Emunah, and Emunah is a precursor to the commandment. It's not a commandment. The only reason why he counted La'yilacha is because he holds that's not talking about Emunah. But the Rambam holds it is talking about Emunah. So the Rambam felt that the way I'm interpreting La'yilacha, there are people out there that wouldn't agree that it belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs. So that's why I have to bring a raya. So he's bringing a raya, even though there isn't any official name, there isn't any opinion who says La'yilacha doesn't count, but the Rambam believed that if the Bahag would have agreed to his interpretation of La'yilacha, then he would have disagreed about whether to count it. So because of that, the Rambam had to bring a raya that we should count it.
If you, yeah, you really don't need the losas, because if you already say Anok Hashem Elokecha, from that you can deduce that you're not allowed to have another god, right?
True. Both. True.
Right?
So, but there's an essay and a loisa.
I mean, I know
that it's set up that way. Shabbos also has an essay and a loisa.
But, yeah.
You could right.
You guys run something else, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so that now the Ramban over there is the kasha on the Ramban. So the Rambam brings this Gemara in Makkos, where it says 611 plus 2, that's my raya that you count Anoichi and you count La'yilacha. Correct the Ramban. But if you follow the Rambam's paper trail, you know, just go through the details. The Rambam counts Anoichi as the first mitzvah Hasei. He counts La'yilacha as the first mitzvah Leisase. Then he counts another mitzvah Leisase, Leisase L'cha Pesa V'chol Tamuna. That's the Isser against having idols. And then there's a lav like the shtachavel lahem. It's all in Parshas Yisro. In the Aseret Dibros, and it says la'yilecha lemachar achem rabbanai. It says la'chapes b'chol tumuna asher b'shemayim mimal asher ba'aretz mitachas. No, I'm getting asher b'shemayim mimal asher ba'aretz mitachas asher b'mayim mitachas la'aretz. Then it says like the shtachavel lahem, and then it says v'leisa avdeim. Okay, then ends of ki'anecha shemalkecha kelkana. So the if you read the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs. That's the first leisasem. That's about amuna and el acher zulasai. Leisasem l'chafes l'chol tumuna. That's another leisasem about making idols. Leisashtachav elahem is about bowing down to foreign gods. Leisavdeim is about worshiping foreign gods with other. Why do I have two psukim over there? Because there's one iser of avodais that we do use in our religion, and then there's another iser of avodais that we don't use in our religion, and there's different halachas. The ones that we don't use in our religion, you're only over on if you do it in a religion that uses it, like Zerik Evan Lamarkulis, you're chayev. But if you're Zerik Evan to a different religion, then you're not chayev. But Zivuach the Kitur, you'd be chayev in any religion. So the right, I pray asked on the part is another example of that. So there's two lavim having to do with the details of worshiping of Avodah Zarah. But altogether, if you count them up, the Rambam has four leisases in the Dibur of Layilacha. Layilacha Lamachar Mbahana is one, Leisas Lacha Pesel is two, Leisas Shtach Valham is three, Leisas Avdim is four. So then where are the 611 mitzvahs that we heard from Moshe? If a Neichiv Layilacha Mpiyag Vurashamanam, that takes care of five mitzvahs. A Neichiv Layilacha includes five mitzvahs in the Rambam's list of 613. The Gemara says, the Gemara the Rambam brings twice to bring a riot to his Shita, in that Gemara it says that there's 611 plus two. The two are Anoichim La'yilacha. But the Rambam makes five out of Anoichim La'yilacha. So then you're only left with 608. How does Rambam work out the arithmetic in that Gemara?
Those don't come from Hashem. Those come from Moshe. It's only the first two that come from Hashem.
But it says Anoichim La'yilacha. Anoichim La'yilacha piyag v'rshamanam.
Those come through Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, so I actually you're saying that Reb Zelig was answered really the same way that you did, but I think we're gonna explain it a little bit more. The Ramban's kasha is that according to the Rambam, Anoichi and La'yilacha includes five mitzvahs, and in the Gemara it seems that there's supposed to be 611 plus two. Though so where's the 611? It's only gonna be 608. The Ramban says that this kasha is only on the Rambam, according to the Bahag. We could say the Bahag didn't count Anoichi. So he just has La'yilacha. So I'll tell you very good. La'yilacha and Le'sas L'cha Pesel are both about idols. Not to have idols, not to make idols. That counts as one. Le'sashtachave and Le'sa'ovdein, that's about worshiping. That counts as one. So there's two mitzvahs there. Anoichi v'la'yilacha altogether. That paragraph includes two mitzvahs. Anoichi is not a mitzvah, but La'yil and Le'sas is one, and Le'sashtachave and Le'sa'ovdein is one. So according to the Bahag, there's two mitzvahs there, so there's 611 plus two. The Ramban says, I personally have a different shot. I would say Anoichi is one, like the Rambam says, and then all four of the leisases and la'yilacha I count as one, because it's the iser against Avodah Zarah, and it says, don't worship any other gods, whether with idols, that's la'yilacha, that's like a headline. La'yilacha 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 means don't worship any other gods, whether with la'yisas l'cha pesel by making idols, whether with la'yisas shtachva by bowing down, whether with la'yisas avdeim by worshiping them in other ways. In all of those ways, don't la'yilacha. So I read that whole paragraph as one mitzvah, so anoichi is one and la'yi is another. So that's two plus 611. The Gemara is perfect. According to the Bahag, anoichi didn't count, but okay, la'yi. The paragraph of La'yia can be divided into two halves, two mitzvahs. So again, that's two plus 611. That's Taryag.
Why isn't there a Vavachibur? If Vilo Tishtachavem, Vilo, you know, if it's all part of one,
yeah,
it should be of Vilo, above.
I hear. Right? I hear. There is a Vav by Vilaysa of Dame, but not by Lysishtacha. I hear. I mean, it's tying on the Ramban's reading. Okay. But the Ramban says, so according, you know, I have a great reading of the Gemara. Even the Bahag has an acceptable reading of the Gemara. But according to the Rambam, the Gemara doesn't work. Because according to the Rambam, there's five mitzvahs in these two paragraphs. So, and the Gemara says it's supposed to be two plus 611. So Rav Zelig wanted to say the following chiddush. It says, if you look in the front of your shul, right, in every shul, if you have an Aseres HaDibros, like on the Pareiches or on the Aron Kodesh, so it says on the top line, Anoichi, And then it says Le'giyeh. And then on the third line it says Le'sisa, Hashem Hashem Lekach Lashav. So, and then that's third, and the fourth is Zachar, and the fifth is Kaveh. But the second line says Le'giyeh. Meaning we all believe, at least all of the artists among us, and all of Klal Yisrael, believe that the second commandment starts by Le'giyeh Lecha. And that makes a lot of sense, according to the way, let's say, the Bahag or the Ramban, most Rishonim interpret La'yi Elecha, that it has to do with Avodah Zarah, not to have idols, not to, like the Bahag said, not to worship Avodah Zarah, like the Ramban says. So Anoichi is about Amuna, whether you count it as a mitzvah, or like the Bahag, you don't count it as a mitzvah, but it's a statement about Amuna. And then La'yiyah is a whole paragraph about Avodah Zarah, various details on Hilchas Avodah Zarah. So that's where we divide it into two dibros. Anoichi and La'yiyah L'cha is two dibros. Where do we divide it? Anoichi is one, that's about Amunah. And La'yiyah, La'isas L'cha Pesel, La'isashtachavel, La'isavdeim is all about Avodah Zarah. So that's the second. But according to the Rambam, that we read it before, that he says the first mitzvah says Anoichi, Shenitztavinu Lahamin Belika. We were commanded to believe in God. The first leisas is like yilachash and stavishu who's harnu milahamin be'el achazulasai. So there's an assay and a leisas about amuna. Then leisas l'chapesel is not to make idols. Leisas tachaveh is not to worship them. Leisas avdem is also about worshiping them. So leisas and leisas tachaveh and leisas avdem are three mitzvahs having to do with avodah zarah. So there's three mitzvahs here about avodah zarah and two about amuna. So clearly, those two are a pair. They go together. If you have to draw a line somewhere in that paragraph, right, beginning with the words "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha" and ending with "La'ayavai L'Shem Rei Mitzvaysai," you have to draw a line somewhere in that paragraph to divide the first dibra from the second dibra. The line is not going to be after the pasuk of Anoichi. It's going to be after La'yilacha. Anoichi and La'yilacha are the commandment of Emuna, and La'isas L'chapesel begins the commandment of Avodah Zarah, which means that if you're depicting this artistically on your pareiches, and you can just put a couple of words on each line, Anoichi should be on the first line, and the second line will be Leisase, not Leyia. Leyia is part of the first Dibra. Leisase begins the second Dibra. Mm-hmm. And then, so then we understand why it's 2 plus 611, because then when the Gemara says Anoichi v'Leyia l'cham v'yag v'rushamanam, it doesn't mean the Dibra of Anoichi and the Dibra of Leyia. They're both the same dibur. It means the sentence of Anoichi and the sentence of La'yilacha was Mipi Agvur Shemanim. The Mipi Agvur was just till La'yilacha Le'machayim Al Panoi. And that's where Hashem stopped. And then Moshe began by La'isat L'chapesel. We all were reading the Gemara that says Anoichi V'La'yilacha Mipi Agvur Shemanim. That means that we heard from Hashem until La'oyavai L'shem Rei Mitzvaysai, the end of that paragraph. And then Moshe began by La'isisa Hashem V'Shem L'kach L'ashav. But Reb Zelig Tainan that according to the Rambam, it should be clear that Anoichi V'La'yilacha, that's one dibur. So if the Gemara says Anoichi V'La'yim V'Yagvur Shemanim, it doesn't mean till La'yavai L'Shem Rei Mitzvaysai, till the end of the second dibur. It means just those two psukim, till La'yilacha L'Him Acharim Al Panai. That's what they heard in P'Yagvura. So that's just two mitzvahs. So that's two mitzvahs P'Yagvura and Tafresh, you know, and 611. Gematria Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe. That's what they heard from Moshe. So this kash of the Ramban, that according to the Rambam, there's only 608 Mipi Moshe. He answered that kasha by saying that there's a different way of dividing up the dibros, which again it's really very very striking. It changes our the picture that we have of the Aseres HaDibros. The second dibur doesn't start with the word la'yia; it starts with the le'sase, because the neichin la'yia that's all part of the first dibur. That's the mitzvah emuna, and then the second is about avodah zarah. So Adkan, that was Reb Zelig's shir.
It's a kasha on the Rambam from the Poroiches, but
right, right. The Rambam, all these artists are going not like the Rambam. It's true. Now, it's interesting. It's not just the artists, right? It's also a kasha on the. I mean, this word from Zelig is also against the way we all read the Aseres HaDibros in the time El Yain. We put Anoichi together with. We put the whole paragraph together. So that's. That doesn't really indicate one way or the other. Clearly we're putting two dibros together. No, our time Elion doesn't support one way or the other. And so Reb Zelig said this shiur. After the shiur, I went over to him. I happened to have had a chumash at that time, most of the Rav Kook, most of the Rav Kook put out a Chumash that where the Nusach of the Chumash was edited based on the Keser Aram Tzeiva. Now, when we say Nusach of the Chumash, you know, there's no discrepancies in the letters. All Klai Yisrael has the same Chumash. But there's a Chumash called Keser Aram Tzeiva, which is a scroll that's more than 1,000 years old. It's the oldest Chumash, I think. The oldest Chumash in existence.
Aram Tzeiva was Syria, no?
Yes.
The Codex?
Chalab.
Yeah, I think that's what they call the Aleppo Codex. Yeah. And but when we so it's the oldest Chumash, and when we say you know a Chumash that's edited based on that, it means you know for things like Nekudos and Trop, that, you know those kinds of things. If, you know the actual text of the Chumash, the words, the letters. There's no discrepancies, but on things like Nekudos and Trop. So there, you know, you rely on the Masaira of you know how it's passed down through the generations. But in the last century, when they found one Chumash that's centuries and centuries older than any other, so some people look at that as the most authoritative. The Rambam actually refers to that Chumash. He used that. He had access to it. And so the Mozart of Kook Chumash, it says in the front that it's edited based on the Keser Aram Tzeiva. In that Chumash, I had noticed that, you know, that Chumash, like every Chumash, on the top of the page, you know, they have the Sukkim written with the Tam Tachton. The Tam Elyon is in the back or on the bottom of the page, you know, that's stuck in as an extra. But it's printed, the basic Chumash is printed with the Tam Tachton, with a lot of safe pasuks. You know, it's divided into the correct Pesukim. But it's missing one safe pasuk. In that Chumash, there's no safe pasuk on the Beis Avadim. Anoich Hashem Elokecha Shor Tzitzicha Me'er Sosayim Beis Avadim Esnachta. They put the two halves of that, they made that two halves of one pasuk, and they put a safe pasuk at the end of it. I went over to him and I showed him this, and I remember how first, you know, I said, look, they have an asnachta here, and he said, and he, like, you know, so he started to explain to me, he thought, you know, I didn't understand that over here there's different ways of bringing it up. There's a Tam Elyon, there's a Tam Tachton. I said, no, I chap that. This is in the Tam Tachton. I'm telling you, look, there's a safe pasuk on Alponai, but still there's no safe pasuk on Meis Avadim. He said, oh, Taka. It's a chiddush. It's different than all other chumashim. I mean, I have a chumash here in front of me. Asher tzidich meres, my Meis Avadim, safe pasuk. But you know, this Chumash actually does something very interesting. They have it two dots. This is the Ma'oiris Makoris Gedeles. They have it two dots.
Now after 55 minutes. Oh shit!
They have it two dots with an asnachta. Either it's a misprint or they meant to be hedging their bet. It's a new Chumash. They already had access to the Keser Aram Tzeiva. I don't know if they had copyrights to it, but. They put an asnachta here on the two dots. So like, yeah, which is just contradictory. But anyway, but they're not really following that because they call Layiach the next pasuk. They write pasuk Gimel. But in the Keser Aram Tzeiva, in the Moser Rav Kook edition, they don't know, you know, in terms of the numbers of the pasuk, and Beis Gimel Dalad Layiach is not considered a new pasuk. There's an asnachta on Avadim, and Layiach Alehim Acherim is a continuation of the same pasuk. So I said, here is an old Chumash that put these two psukim into one pasuk. He was Taka very happy. That's a strong makar to his whole Shikol Torah, that Anoichi and Layilacha go together. Not like the whole Klai Yisrael has Anoichi, and then Layilacha goes together like Sasal Chapetza and Leishashtachavet. But according to this version of the Chumash, Anoichi and Layilacha, that's a unit, and then Leishashtachavet starts something new. It's a very strong makar to his Shikol Torah. So now, so what we have now is a new nusach of the Tam Tachton. We had already, we saw before that there's two nuschos of the Tam Elyon, right, about whether a noichi is separated from the rest of the dibur or it's put together with it. But now we have two nuschos in the Tam Tachton. Within the Tam Tachton, where a noichi, everybody has a noichi as one pasuk, and a yeh has one pasuk, and l'sasmach ha-petzel as another pasuk, but now there's a version that has a neichi and la'yilacha as one pasuk. That again, that version is the Staker Makar to Rav Zelig Shekel Torah. But now, just to tie it together to the beginning of our shir, if you go with that version of the Tam Tachtoin, you're going to get yet another number as your schum, your total of Pesukim in Parshas Yisrael. It will come out to 74. So how many Pesukim are there in Parshas Yisrael? 71, 72, 74, and 75 are all acceptable answers. All right.